Welcome to Books on Air, the podcast that you don't want to miss. You're about to get a sneak peek at what goes on behind the scenes with authors. You'll find out their secret recipe for creating a book. You'll find out where they get their ideas, and you'll get the inside scoop on their newest project. Want to know more? Great. We'll tell you where to find them on social media. Are you ready to meet today's author? Well, joining me today is award-winning author Loretta Horner Miller. She has a bachelor's degree in English with a minor in Spanish and a master's of education degree in integrating technology into the classroom. She's a poet, an essayist, and an accomplished multi-genre author. Her awards include a 2018 Book Excellence Award finalist in the memoir category at the New Mexico Arizona Book Awards, and also in 2018, the Independent Press Distinguished Favorites Awards, also in the memoir category. Loretta's been a presenter at National Women Writing the West Conference, and she's joining me today to talk about her book, Just Another Square Dance Caller, the authorized biography of Marshall Flippo. Welcome, Loretta.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. This is such a terrific book. I looked through everything, and the collection that you have done with this is just wonderful. And it led me to wonder something. How were you very first introduced to square dance?
Well, square dancing has been a part of my life forever. In fact, before I was born, my mother was square dancing. The night before I was born, she danced one tip, which is basically, you know, about a 20-minute dance. The next day, she had me, and friends met my dad downtown Trinidad, Colorado, and said, that little girl was born dancing, so I've been dancing my whole life.
And why do you enjoy it so much? I mean, I square danced when I was young, and I told you earlier that I had worked for the Arlington Park and Recreation Department, and that we had a group of square dancers that came down once a week and danced, and they always just had smiles on their faces and just seemed to have such a great time. What is it about square dance?
Well, to me, it's a couple of things. I love the music. I love to dance. I love the people. What has happened for me is that, you know, there's a saying in square dancing that square dancing is friendship set to music. And I have friends all over the world, and I can attribute it to square dancing.
Well, I remember how much fun it was, and I remember how happy everybody always was when they came down to dance. So it's just, I guess you're right. I guess it's the movement and it's the camaraderie and it's just everything. Why did you decide to write the book about Marshall Flippo?
Well, it was really a gift to me. It was a privilege to write this book. It wasn't my idea though. My husband and I were at a square dance, and after the dance it was a square dance weekend, and after the dance on Saturday evening, we were all sitting around and visiting, and Flippo, and we call him Flippo or Flip, that's what he went by, and people were talking about him because he was ending his career, and somebody said, you know what, somebody needs to write his biography, and my husband turned and looked at me and said, well, you're the writer in the group, why don't you do it? So I prayed about it. We prayed about it. I called up Flip and I said, what would you think about me writing your biography? And he goes, oh, no. Nobody in the world would want to read my biography. But I do have a book you should write. You should write collect all the crazy things that traveling callers do. And then he said, oh, wait a minute. That would be X-rated. That wouldn't work. So he was coming to Albuquerque to honor his last contract for the state festival, and it was Friday night, and it was during early break, one of the breaks, and I went over and was visiting with him, and there was a group of New Mexico callers standing around him, and he brought it up, and he said, Loretta wants to write my biography. Now, who in the world would buy that? And everybody in that circle raised their hand. So that was, you know, I think that was confirmation for him that it was something that would be well received.
What made him special, Loretta? He was in his 90s when he stopped doing the thing that he loved so much. What was special about him?
Well, Marshall Flippo was a very humble man. In fact, he told me when we started this project early on, he said, "Do not make me a hero in this book. I'm not a hero." And so he was very humble. But the other piece, there's several reasons why he was so successful. He was a bridge between two eras in the history of square dancing. His mentor, Betty Casey, and out of Abilene, Texas, and Bob Osgood out of California, were trained by a very well-known square dancer in square dance history. His name was Lloyd Pappy Shaw out of Colorado Springs, Colorado. And Flippo honored what those two had taught him, and he brought it to the next generation of callers. He also had this knack for himself that he would meet somebody, and then if he didn't see them for a year or so, he would remember their names.
Wow.
And people felt honored and felt like he really was a friend to them. He had a fantastic mind. The way he choreographed his material, he did it all in his mind. He did not use any of the mechanisms that people use. He had a great singing voice. And he had a personality. He loved people. So, you know, that's a great combination, all of those things right there.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And the book is so cool because you've got all of these wonderful pictures. You feature so many of the other callers. And I loved it because in the prelude or in the very beginning of the book, you talk about trying to write in Flip's Texas accent. And as a Texan, as I read that, I could not help but chuckle as I would read through the way that a Texas accent sounds to someone. I loved that. You spent over 40 hours interviewing people and all kinds of things. How did you do that? Did you go places? Did you do that online? How did you do all that?
Well, the interviews were done. Flippo and I had two face-to-face times. He lived in Tucson, Arizona, and I live in the Albuquerque, New Mexico area. So we had two face-to-face meetings. One was when we started the activity. I went to Tucson for a writing conference, and we had about 3 or 4 hours together. And then he was coming to Albuquerque for the Caller Lab Convention, which is the national, it's the International Callers Association. And so we had about 4 hours there. Everything else was done on a weekly conversation interview with him, and I kept it an hour because of his age. So that was the interviews with him. The other interviews that I did that are throughout the book, some of them I did face-to-face at dance events. Some of them were done on the phone, and I recorded them and then transcribed them. Some of them, people emailed me stories because he wanted to tell stories on all of his caller friends, and I included that in the book. But then I thought, well, you know what? If he's telling stories on them, they should have the opportunity to tell stories on him. So I put an all call out to callers, and then the Callers Association, Caller Lab, helped me and put the email out to their big organization. And people sent me, callers sent me stories. So it didn't take a lot of work to get all the stories that I had in the book. I mean, people wanted to tell stories on Flip.
How long did it take you to put this together? This is a tremendous amount of work.
Well, we started in October of 2017, and I just released it in May of 2020. So it was a lot of work.
Wow. You did such a beautiful job. All of the pictures, I think they really, really make the book. And I want our listeners to realize that this is just not about the square dance era for Marshall Flippo. You also traced his life. There are pictures in there from his childhood, You went back to his service in the Navy in World War II. I mean, this man is really so multifaceted. I was really interested and surprised at all the different things that he's done and all the different aspects to his life that there were. And you uncovered so many things. You did such a thorough job, Loretta.
Well, you know, he was really proud of the service that he did. And I think that to me it is, thank you for saying that. To me, it's a history book. It's a slice of Americana. That's what my husband says. And it's really a picture of what life was like in, you know, around World War II. Flip was 17 when he enlisted into the Navy. And, you know, his experience was that he got in on the end of World War II, but he still had a taste of what the reality was. And it really gives a snapshot of the patriotism that was so viable at that time, you know, a 17-year-old feeling deep in his heart that he wanted to go and serve for this country. So, I don't know, I really think it's a history book. That was one of the reasons that I put the extensive index in the back of the book, is that I wanted it to be something that people could read and then look through and use, kind of like, you know, being a retired teacher, like a textbook, because it really is a slice of American history.
And I like the way that you characterize it as a slice of life. This is a slice of a very special life, but you're right. This is the greatest generation. You've immortalized one of the greatest generation, because that's how they characterize the people who served in World War II, whether it was a man or a woman, men or women, because that was a very different kind of situation and a very different kind of war. I agree with you. I think it's an excellent slice of life. I'm sure that we have titillated our listeners with all of our talking about the book. Is there a piece of it that you would like to share with the listeners?
Yes. Yes, there is.
Please do.
This is, and this is kind of what goes hand in hand with what we were talking about. When I wrote this book, I was aided by a writing group, and no one in the writing group are square dancers. And so I have a section in the book that's called Dear Reader. And I added this because I wanted it to address the people that I felt that were probably not in the square dance world. Welcome to Marcia Flippel and the world of square dancing. Star, legend, all words used to describe Marcia Flippel in the square dance world. Yet when we started this project, he made me promise that I didn't portray him as a hero. His humble spirit spoke volumes about his view. Marcia Flippel died on Sunday, November the 4th, 2018. He called actively until he was 90 years old, having a 64-year career in the field he loved. During his heyday, he worked at Kirkwood Lodge in Osage Beach, Missouri, for half of the year, calling 7 nights a week, and the other half he toured the United States, calling usually 6 nights a week for 42 years. He endured this grueling schedule because he did what he loved. He returned to his Texas roots as often as he could and called the anniversary dance for the Grand Squares Square Dance Club in San Antonio, Texas for 44 years. He had long-term relationships with many dancers, clubs, and festivals all over the world. He truly was a Renaissance man. The rough times of the Depression and the subsequent recession formed Marcia Flippel, forcing the Flippel family to move several times around the Abilene area, searching for lower rental costs and better housing. As a caller, he spent 6 months of a year for 42 years traveling the country and the world, a gypsy. Did the frequent moves during his early years set him up for this lifestyle? It was 1944 and Flippel focused on World War II. He volunteered at 17, influenced by the world's impact on his country and his surroundings. Flippel's oldest sister and best friend enlisted, leading the way for him. So his patriotism shifted the direction of this young Texan's life away from finishing high school and out to the world. After his service to his country, Lippel returned to Abilene, Texas, and met the love of his life, Misa, a happenstance career that fell into place because of a serendipitous square dance vacation to Kirkwood Lodge in the Lake of the Ozarks of Missouri, ultimately changed his life forever. His career spanned 6 decades, and he loved every minute. He came to the activity a bashful young Texan and felt the formula for his success was he was the luckiest man in the world, at the right place at the right time. This powerful theme weaves its way through his life story, from getting right home to Abilene, Texas with his friend Thurman Curry, to his naval training in San Diego, California, and his baseball career, to all the ins and outs of his successful square dance calling career. So that's just a slice of the book.
That's great. I think that's a wonderful overview of exactly what the book contains. I know that our listeners are probably wondering where they can find the book. And since Amazon is where so many people go, I always check Amazon, and I went there this morning. And I want to give the listeners the specific name of the book so that they can find it easily. It's called Just Another Square Dance Caller, The Authorized Biography of Marshall Flippo. And it's by Lareda, L-A-R-A-D-A, Lareda, excuse me, Lareda Horner, H-O-R-N-E-R, dash Miller, M-I-L-L-E-R. And if you can get Just Another Square Dance Caller in that search feature at the top of Amazon and click on it, the book will come right up. And there's a really, really superb excerpt. When you look at the cover of the book, on the right-hand corner, there will be the words, Look Inside. If you'll just click on those little Look Inside words, the book opens and you get to read a really beautiful excerpt. It's not only available on Amazon, but it's also on your website. Is that right, Lareda?
Yes. Yes, it is on my website. And if you would prefer an autographed copy, also, I would like you to know it's available in paperback and hardback and ebook too, in all the 4 book ebook formats. My website is laredasbooks.com. So it's L-A-R-A-D-A-S, books, B-O-O-K-S.com. And you can get it there by ordering through PayPal.
Now, there are some other things on that website. You've got some trailers from the book that you produced, some visual trailers. Tell me about those.
Well, I had a lot of fun doing those. Flippo was really an interesting person, so I love doing that kind of production. So I have one that has his childhood and his growing up and his Texas roots. Then one of the more popular ones is one of the things that happens at square dance festivals is on Saturday night they have what they call an after party, and they do skits there. And Flip was the king of skits. So I have several of his most popular gets identified in that trailer. And then one of the things we haven't talked about is that Flippo was known internationally. He, because he worked at Kirkwood Lodge for 42 years, people came there from all over the world and then invited him to go to their country to do festivals. So on the third trailer, I highlight all the different countries that he went to, especially highlighting Japan. He had a love affair with Japan, and Japan had a love affair with him.
That sounds so surprising, doesn't it?
Yeah, really. Well, let me tell you just a little quick side story. One of the ladies that was interviewed in the book, her name is Marzen. I cannot pronounce her last name. But she was interviewed, and she said there is a whole generation of Japanese callers that call with a Texas accent.
I love it. And wouldn't you love to hear one of those callers with that Texas accent and that Japanese exterior. It just would not look like they went together, would it?
No, not at all.
Also, the listeners, when they go to your website, you also have a blog. Tell me about your blog.
Well, I do a weekly blog, and it has it's been really a fun thing. I've done it over the last 6 or 7 years, and I have just had a blast with it. It is basically my thoughts for the week, whatever is going on in my life, my world, our world at the time. I finished about a 3-month focus on the coronavirus. I write poetry, so I did a lot of poetry writing to, to deal with what was going on when we jumped in the middle of that whole horror in March. And so I have a lot on that. I have a lot about travels that my husband and I've done. And of course, I have a lot about Marshall Flippel.
Loretta, you're doing a lot on social media as well. Let's give our listeners some of the places that they can find you. I know that you have an author page on Facebook. How can they find that author page on Facebook?
Well, the easiest way would be just to search for my name, Loretta Horner Miller, and it will come up as one of the choices. I have a personal page. The author page has my name and then comma authors. So that's the way they would find my Facebook page. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I'm on YouTube. I'm on LinkedIn, Pinterest. What else am I on? I think that's the majority of the ones that I'm active on.
So basically, if they put your name into any of those platforms, they'll be able to find you.
Yes.
I always like to give an author the opportunity to have the final word with our listeners. And this is such a personal book, and it's just, I mean, it has so many facets to it. What do you want the reader to leave with? Because you've given this wonderful slice of a wonderful life, you've gone into the war, you've talked about the Depression. You've also given, I mean, there are all these pictures. It's extensive. Do you want the reader, after they close that back cover for the last time, to take away the fact that this was a very special person and that this was a very interesting life? Is there something else besides that that you would like the reader to leave with?
Well, I guess my hope would probably couple with what Flippo wanted more than anything. He wanted people to laugh. He really enjoyed his life, and he wanted to have the reader laugh because that was such an amazing part of his life. I hope also that whenever the reader closes the book and has kind of sat for a moment thoughtfully, I'm sure they've shed a tear because there's heartbreak in this book too. But I hope they fall in love with this admirable man. And there was so much information to try to fit into this book. He made me promise that this book would be no bigger than Bob Osgood's biography. And so I had to make, that was my guiding light for the book. But I had so much leftover material. I also created a members-only section on my website. So once someone buys the book, and I'll tell you what page it's on page 485, if they turn to page 485, they will have the means by which to connect with me and then have access to that that part of my website. I have 6 or 7 pages there now, and I'm getting ready to add a whole other one because someone, after buying the book, emailed me and said, "Loretta, I have 13 sound bites of Marshall Flippo talking on a variety of things. Some of them are jokes, and some of them are jokes for the adult world, but some of them are historic because, he talks about a variety of things that have to do with scorpion things. And some of them are just some of his life stories, but it's his in his voice. So that will be up on the members only. I have links to Flippo's career was skyrocketed by a hit song he did, The Auctioneer, just a year or two after Leroy Van Dyke released it. And it was a hard song to sing. If you're not familiar with that song, it has got words you cannot imagine. And so Flip fell into a situation where he connected with the owner of Blue Star Records in Houston, Texas. The man's name was Norman Mayerbach, and he offered to see if he would produce it. And Mayerbach looked at the words, looked at the song, and said, no way, callers don't want to learn that many words when they're singing a song. But then he came back to him a couple of months later and said, you know what, let's record it. So Flippo and Nisa and Nisa's parents, he had a dance on Saturday night. They drove to Houston from Abilene, recorded it in a live session because back then they didn't have the where they could do the different tracks. They got it right the first time, drove home, and he went to work. Him and Nisa went to work Monday morning on their jobs that they were doing. It became a hit. It sold over. It sold. He received a gold, an award, a gold record. He sold 500,000 copies of that record.
Wow. Loretta,
yes. I mean,
you have just done such a wonderful work. And I know the listeners can hear the enthusiasm in your voice and the admiration that you hold for Marshall Flippo. It's just so obvious in the stories that you've shared with us and just in your voice in general. Thank you so much for sharing that with us today and for being our guest on Books on Air.
Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. I really appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Books on Air podcast brought to you on webtalkradio.net. You can also hear this podcast on iTunes and iHeartRadio. And don't forget, you can find Loretta Horner Miller's book, Just Another Square Dance Caller, on Amazon. I'm Suzanne Harris, and I hope you'll join our next Books on Air podcast, because remember, you never know who's going to be here. Thank you so much for listening.